Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, enemies of all ages, welcome back to episode 2 of The Art of Overanalysis. I kind of flip-flopped this time about what this episode was going to be on. First, I was going to do it about Mortal Kombat, then I was going to do it about time travel, then I was going to do it about Mortal Kombat again, then I was going to do it on Avengers, and then I kind of just ended up kind of naturally concluding to what we're going to get into for this go-round. I also really wanted to get it out before the end of May, which is, now. So, let's get to it. So, Game of Thrones ended 2 weeks ago, and it was pretty disappointing for a lot of people. While it sparked a million hot takes and discussions on where the show started to lose steam and accordingly its identity, it's given me an excuse to talk about finales in a broader sense. While the job of a final season is largely self-explanatory, it feels more and more like it becomes harder for series to stick the landing when it comes to roll those credits. Begging the question, what makes a good finale? When it comes to great last seasons, in my opinion, you'd have to look no further than Avatar The Last Airbender, a series still by and large considered one of the greatest shows ever, animated or otherwise, over a decade after its finale aired. The third and final season of Avatar plays out perfectly and wraps up the end of every main character's story arcs, none more satisfying than that of Prince Zuko. After spending the first season relentlessly hounding Aang and company to the North Pole, Zuko and his closest advisor and uncle Iroh desert the Fire Nation and seek refuge in the Earth Kingdom's capital, Ba Sing Se, hiding out from his younger sister Azula, who's been tasked with tracking him down and bringing him home, dead or alive. Zuko's arc in this season revolves around him trying to adjust to his new life, no longer focusing on bringing the Avatar to his father to restore his lost honor, and very earnestly trying to be a normal person in spite of his fugitive status. He actually goes on a really awkward date in the episode Tales of Ba Sing Se, which is actually one of the better episodes of that season. The season of question being season 2. I'll get to the point of him in season 3 in a second. Azula does eventually track him down in the season 2 finale and convinces him to rejoin her side and help defeat the Avatar, essentially promising them that he'll get back into his dad's good graces, bringing us to the culmination of his story in season 3. See, told you I'd get back to it. At the outset, Zuko's got it made. He finally gets the approval he's been after for the last two seasons. You know, the whole meme of Zuko is, honor, honor. You know, he finally gets that, but he's like fucking miserable. He's heralded as a hero in the Fire Nation, and he's dating Mai, who, predictably, to anyone who has ever met me, had a very significant influence on my taste in girls. I'm not gonna apologize for that. But he's like plagued by what he did in Ba Sing Se. It's eating at him. Mostly at first because he thinks Aang is alive, so he hires an assassin who can shoot combustion shit out of his forehead. Or as Sokka calls him, Sparky Sparky Boom Man. He betrayed Iroh, and that's bugging him, because Iroh's been more of a dad to him than his actual dad. And he even kind of started to bond with Katara in that final episode of season 2. Which, you know, the 5 minutes that launched a million ships, much to the dismay of not only me at age 11, but me at age 24. Because, really? Them? His questions only get deeper, though, in the episode The Fire Lord and the Avatar, which is an episode about him learning about his family history, or specifically the history of his great-grandfather Sozin from Iroh. And then he finds out that Sozin was not his only great-grandfather, because, but his other great-grandfather is Avatar Roku, Aang in a past life. In the two-parter Day of the Black Sun, Zuko's turn to the light is completed when he confronts Fire Lord Ozai, defecting once more and pledging to teach Aang firebending to help him realize his destiny of defeating Ozai and bringing peace to the world. Zuko kind of takes the driver's seat in Season 3 in terms of characterization and character story. Aang is kind of one note, or one added note, I should say, because Aang is still, you know, as interesting as he's been. But his larger problem, or Aang's larger character arc, is one, he does not have a firebending teacher until halfway through the season, and that he doesn't want to kill Ozai, because Aang's a pacifist. He doesn't want to kill anybody. But he feels like the only... he doesn't feel like this. Everyone else is trying to convince him that he has to... that he has to kill him, that there's no other way. Even his own past lives, he goes and talks to Avatar Kyoshi, clearly the most metal Avatar, who just says, nah, fucking kill him. And even Roku, it's like, hey buddy, you might have to kill him. I don't see another way out of this. Before he meets the Lion Turtle, and finds a way. But Zuko is kind of your character in chief in Season 3. And he actually assists a lot in the conclusion of other characters' larger stories. Mainly Sokka and Katara, helping Sokka go bust his dad and Suki out of jail, and then helping Katara track down the man who killed her mother. The story as a whole moves really well throughout that season. Even just around Zuko. From Aang having to hide the fact that Azula didn't actually kill him, and posing as a Fire Nation colonist to avoid detection, to the heroes going on their offense during the eclipse, only to have their advantage stolen away by the Fire Nation planning ahead, because, hey, we know how this fucking eclipse works, man. We're not going to be able to use our powers, so we're going to not be around, so we can't get jumped. It's just... you know, thinking forward. It's chess, not checkers. And every single detail of that series is, or that season rather, is, it's perfect. It's all planned out and it's executed to the letter. On the flip side though, there are finales that aren't, or final seasons that aren't as airtight. Last arcs that stumble a bit but still manage to be satisfying. A great example of this is Yu Yu Hakusho's Four Kings Saga, which sprints, like, right through it, especially through its last, like, 8 episodes. It's just like, alright, wrap it up. But it sticks its landing perfectly in episode 112, and leaves the characters and the story in a great position to end or even continue later down the line, which it did. There was an OVA that came out last year. I still have not watched it, because I'm a fake fan. So, after Yusuke learns of his demonic heritage and gets fired from his job as spirit detective, he heads out to Demon World to meet with his ancestral father, Raizen, who is a demon. I should explain. Yusuke's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- fell in love with her. They boned down. She had a kid. Then eventually, because she's a human, she dies of just old age. And Ryzen, whose diet kind of consisted of humans for thousands of years, vows to never eat another human again. This causes him to become wildly malnourished and just slowly die over the course of thousands upon thousands of years. So by the time Yusuke meets him, he's like on death's door. But Yusuke goes to Demon World, and after a year there, Ryzen passes away and creates like this huge power vacuum, because there are three kings in Demon World: Ryzen, Makuro, and Yomi. Makuro is a can't remember if she's friends with Ye or if Ye just knows her. And Yomi is an old running buddy of Kurama. He's also blind due to Kurama's actions. Because Kurama tried to have him killed. It's just flavor. It's not important, but it's worth knowing. What was I getting at? See, this is the problem with, like, being, like, a person that goes on tangents all the fucking time. You, like, constantly forget what the fuck you're doing when things distract you. I'm not even gonna edit this out. I'm just gonna leave this fucking in here. So now that Ryzen's territory is wide open, there's a power vacuum, shit's going down, Yusuke comes up with the idea for the Demon World Tournament. Similar to the other tournaments he's been in, but the winner of the tournament gets to rule Demon World for the next 3 years. During the tournament, Yusuke, who is now 16, if my timeline on this is correct, finds himself for the first time without a real reason to fight to win. In previous sagas, he had something, you know, whether it be professional, like in the Genkai tournament, where it's his job. Botan and Kawenma tell him, you gotta win the tournament, because we want you to get trained by Genkai, but also you gotta find this dude, Rando, who is in here, and stop him. So Yusuke, who's like full of piss and vinegar, is like, cool, I can do that. And then in the Dark tournament, it's really personal for him, because Toguro showed up, kicked his ass, and tells him, like, yo, if you don't show up to this tournament and fight me in the tournament, I'm going to kill you and everyone you love. So Yusuke's got to go deal with that. And he's invested in it. And then in that tournament, when Toguro seemingly kills Kuwabara, Yusuke is finally able to tap into, like, the depths of his power and beats him. And even in Chapter Black, the, you know, often forgotten third saga of Yu Yu Hakusho, Yusuke still has a personal stake in everything. He wants to beat Sensui on some level because Sensui is his predecessor, because Sensui was the spirit detective before he was. But also because this dude is trying to unleash a horde of demons onto the earth, which is bad. But in the Demon World Tournament, there's no real prize for him to win. Yeah, he'll be King of Demon World, but he doesn't really want to do that. He, more than anything, just wants to go home, but he just can't let Yomi win. And him winning isn't going to avenge or save anybody, you know, if he wins the tournament itself. He just has to beat Yomi, or make sure Yomi doesn't win, which he does. He does enough damage to Yomi that Enki wins. Enki was a friend of Ryzen's, and it's kind of like the most generic anime demon you'll... Like, he's like a demon with a goatee and wearing a tank top. Like, it looks like Homer Simpson. It's wild. And the thing about Yusuke in this tournament is that if he wins, which is a real possibility because he makes it to the third round, it would mean that he breaks his promise to Keiko that he made right before he went to Demon World. He promised her that he would return before he turned 18 and marry her. But if he's in Demon World for another 3 years as king, that means he won't be home in time. And that's pretty important to him, because Keiko is pretty important to him, which is important to the finale. And the thing about these final episodes, about the Demon World Tournament itself, is it feels super rushed, because it is. Togashi, the author of the manga, didn't want to do it anymore. Around the end of the Chapter Black saga, he was ready to wrap it up, but he stuck around with it for another 6 or so months. And then he finally ended it in July of 94, much to the dismay and chagrin of the editorial staff at Shonen Jump, who wanted him to keep it going forever, I guess, like Dragon Ball, which every time it ends, it just somehow fucking keeps going. But Togashi wrapped it up largely because he just wasn't happy doing the series anymore, which is his right. He started it, and by God, he can end it. But yeah, after Yusuke beats, or he should have drawn with Yomi, but Yomi kind of cheats and manages to stay on his feet after after Yusuke's last punch, and that's that. Yusuke wakes up to the hospital. They tell him Anki won, but then after Kurama goes back home, Yusuke stays for another couple years, I guess to help Yomi. To help Enki, rather. They never really explain why. Then again, it's been like 4 years since I watched that series ending, so I might just be not remembering it correctly. So 2 years later, Kurama, Kuwabara, Keiko, and Shizuru, Kuwabara's older sister, are heading to Genkai's island to meet with Genkai, Botan, and Yukina. And Genkai tells them that after she dies, she wants them to use the island to help out spirits. And everyone's having a good time, but as the sun sets, Keiko is standing on the edge of the beach, and she just kind of like has this total breaking moment where she just starts yelling out to Yusuke, who is not there, and basically breaks up with him. She tells him, it's the exact quote, essentially that she's done waiting for him and that she's been spending half her life waiting for him to come around, and even when he was around, he really wasn't, and it's time that she gets what she wants. The big surprise reveal is Yusuke from off screen telling her he doesn't want her to have to wait anymore. And she turns around, he's there. She tackles him, and they kiss under the sunset before a wave hits them. And it's this really cute, heartwarming moment, but that moment works, and it's a good last note for the series to be left on. By and large, because of the relationship that has been established with the two of them over the course of the series, because as much as Yu Yu Hakusho is about standard shonen action, as much as Yu Yu Hakusho is defined by the tournament arcs, by the Dark Tournament specifically, that's kind of the thing that people remember the most about this series. It's about bonds. Yusuke only gets strong enough to beat Toguro when he thinks Kuwabara's hurt, but his biggest bond is with Keiko. Keiko's like the one person who really believes in him at the start of the show. She's the one person, other than Principal Takanaka, who really cares about Yusuke, because you can make the argument that his mom doesn't really care, because Yusuke goes missing for months and then years at a time, and I don't think Atsuko ever asks or notices that he's not around. I don't think he ever tells her what he's doing. He dies twice in this series, and I don't think she cares or noticed. But Keiko risks her life to save Yusuke's body when he's trying to come back to life the first time. And in turn, Yusuke sacrifices what he thinks is his only chance to come back to life to save Keiko. And he has a great line of, if she's not here, coming back to life isn't worth it. I would rather stay dead than live in a world without Keiko. And it's his love for her that helps him beat Suzaku. And, you know, that was one of his first real challenging cases, was the Four Saint Beasts. And it's only because Yusuke has such a bond with Keiko that he's able to overcome it, because he draws from that and gets stronger because of it. What I'm getting at is that this ending works despite the odd pace of the preceding episodes because of Yusuke and Keiko, because those characters getting their happy ending after everything they've been through together is so genuinely heartwarming and thematically appropriate, that you can't help but smile. get it like the theme song, which is called Smile Bomb. Which also, this is, again, tangential, because that's who I am. The second verse of the theme song, Smile Bomb, can be interpreted from being from Keiko's point of view. There's the line of, like, with tear-stained eyes, I sadly said goodbye and waved and wished you farewell. I want you, or there's a line before that of, like, how many times have I tried to tell you to take care of yourself? And then I think of how much longer I must wait. The whole series as a whole, wow, that's redundant, whatever. The series as a whole is about Yusuke and Keiko. More than it's about Yusuke and Ryzen. More than it's about Genkai and Tagoro. More than it's about Kuwabara and Kurama and Hiei and Yukina and all these other people. The two characters that matter the most are Yusuke and Keiko. Sometimes endings fall flat, and final seasons of shows you once loved become chores to watch. But for every show like Game of Thrones, which its last season was a total torpedoing of its characters and its larger scope, because goddamn it, we gotta get to the end right now, even though HBO is offering us more money to just keep the series going for two more seasons so we can actually do this. Whatever. For every Game of Thrones, there's an Avatar The Last Airbender. You know, for every disappointment, there's a goddamn masterwork out there that is a clinic in how to do a final season. For every show that ends like How I Met Your Mother or Dexter, shows where it's just a go off the rails towards the end or just totally make no sense in the grand scheme of things because you wanted to keep with the ending that you originally wrote and without thinking that you're... ending is going to change because, oops, we didn't think that far ahead. We could have just edited this with a camera cut. Instead, we're going to put that ending on the DVD release because we're real smart guys. For every show like that, there's Yu Yu Hakusho. And for every hot take, every large discussion about how good something is and what it should be that's done in the moment, there's this show, which is me going off on tangents. For 25 minutes. I'm Marcus. This is the Art of Overanalysis, episode 2. Be well, be merry. We'll see you next time.
Baby squirrel, use a sexy motherfucker.